I'd like for you to be turning in your Bible to the third chapter of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. I want to look with you at a champion Christian by the name of the Apostle Paul, a good friend of ours, isn't he? We visit him often. We're coming up on the 22nd Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. How many of you plan to watch some of those? Raise your hand if you plan to. You know what? I know nothing about Winter Olympics, but I'm fascinated by them because these are people who are mostly at the peak of their lives and at the peak of their game. And they're going to come together, 98 events over 15 disciplines, 7 sports, 2,500 plus athletes from 88 nations. And every one of them will go for the gold. Now, we know they won't all get that. There will be some heartache and some heartache break. As they used to say, there'll be the thrill of victory and there'll be the agony of defeat. But they all will go for the gold. Let me tell you something. They will not just start going for the goal on the 6th of February or 7th of February and following. No. They started going for the gold almost a lifetime ago for them. They've consumed their lives with this one ambition. I want to be the best in the world at what I do. I want to ask you a question. As a follower of Christ, are you going for the gold? Now, rather than think of that as if only one person in this room or the world would receive that, here's what I want you to know. Every child of God can go for the gold and stand in the winner's circle. Right. Every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, from the wisest to the less so, every one of us can go for the gold, and we can all wear that crown of righteousness. So I want to know how do you go for the gold? And I want you to know. And the purpose of today is to encourage you, but also to challenge you. Because if you are settling for mediocrity in your journey with Christ, you are missing so much of the glory that God has for you. So, we're reading in Philippians. We are in the third chapter. Paul, in the first 6 verses, gives his human pedigree. But verse 7 is where we pick it up. But what things, that's all of that stuff, what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, the Apostle Paul, a world-class Christian, a go-for-the-gold kind of guy. And the question that is before me, the question that's working on me, is this question: how can I go for the gold in my Christian life? How can I strive for that winner's wreath that the Lord Jesus Christ will give when He comes? And so here today, in a very brief format, are 4 requirements if you're going to go for the gold. And I will tell you that in that packet that you received, there is available, if you would happen to want it, a little sheet that looks like this. It says sermon notes. And so I just mentioned that because you might want to jot these down. I'm going to give them to you in a very straightforward fashion. You'll have no problem following. And I believe you will find yourself in 100% agreement that these are the characteristics, if you will, of a go for the gold kind of Christian. And that's what I want for me and for you. And you'll say, that's exactly true of Paul. Are you ready? Number one, focus on Christ. Now, you cannot listen to this text. Not well. You cannot read this text without that being crystal clear. In verse 7, in verse 8, in verse 9, in verse 10, in verse 12, and in verse 14, Paul said, listen, there's only one goal for me, and that goal is to know Jesus Christ. And that knowing of Christ can come through great victories. It can come through agonizing defeats. That knowing of Jesus Christ can come through resurrection power. It can come through suffering for the cause of Christ. But Paul knew this. If I'm going to be a go-for-the-goal kind of guy, I'm going to have to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. I told you last night we were in Beast Feast with a young man named Brad Clay out of Oklahoma. And Brad has a syndicated program, I guess you would call it, that is on DirecTV and Dish Network and so forth. It's called Final Descent. But he was talking about godly manhood. And it was so interesting to me because you know what he said first? That godly manhood is gospel-centered. That a man who wants to be a man of God is a man whose life is centered on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Focus on Jesus. And I would challenge you right now, because this one is tested moment by moment every day of our lives, to focus on Jesus. Everything seems to me to pull us away from that. So many competing values. But Paul said, and God says, if you want to be a go-for-the-goal Christian, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to let Jesus be at the heart of everything you do. Not just for an hour on Sunday. Not just for an hour on Sunday every other Sunday. Not just for an hour on Sunday on Easter and Christmas and other special occasions. No, you're going to take every day of your life and everything in your life, and Jesus is going to be at the heart of it. Now, you know how we say it at Ridgecrest. And we've got some guests here that don't. So I'm going to start you. But then you prove to me that you know what our goal is at Ridgecrest. At Ridgecrest Baptist Church, we are striving for... Oh, you radical bunch of people. 7 days a week, are you kidding me? That is focus. And without that focus, we are going to find ourselves fumbling through life, running this direction, that direction, and finding that there is no joy at the heart of who we are. How can I go for the goal, number one, focus on Jesus? Now, those are good words, but Paul and his passion went well beyond words. There were some practices that were part of his life that are so clear in the text, and I want to show them to you. So let me give you number two. Number one was focus on Jesus, but here's number two. Face reality. Face reality. Are there any other guys like me that one time in your life, I mean, it had to be real early, right? You thought you would someday dunk a basketball. Did anybody else think that? Yeah, yeah. And I know there are people that are my height that have done so, but I've faced the reality. You're going to need a pretty good stepladder to get me face reality. Max Dupree, a great business leader who wrote a great book, or probably many great books, but he said about leadership that there are three responsibilities of a leader. The number one one, define reality. Come on, look at what is, not what you wish was. No, you define reality. By the way, he said the last responsibility is to say thank you. And in between, a leader is to be a servant and a debtor. But you know what I think? That's also true of followers. You want to be a follower of Christ that's going for the gold? Then you've got to be able to look in the mirror and define reality. Did Paul do that? Absolutely did. And if you will look in the text, you will see it again in verse 12 where Paul said, not that I have already attained. Did you get that? This is what we would consider one of the greatest Christians other than Jesus Christ, the founder of our faith, but one of the greatest Christians. And he said, I have not attained. And then he said it again in verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I am not perfect. I am not yet fully mature. I still have my warts. I still have my challenges. And I will tell you that there will be no world-class Christianity until we are able to look and say, I have not arrived yet. I'm not there. And the plastic masks that we wear get in the way of the championship run for Christ. Paul is the ultimate realist, and he looks at his life and he knows where he started and he knows he's not there, and he knows where he's going and he knows he's not there, but he knows that something is at work in him and the grace of God is there, and he knows that he needs to still move forward. Face reality. Here's what I think. I think there must always be a certain discontent in the life of a champion. Don't you? I think a champion that makes it to the top is the person who's never quite satisfied with that run down the ice, down the snow. The champion that's never quite satisfied with that form on the bars, whatever it may be. And there's always within them that sense of, I could do just a little bit better. And that drives them. I've got something that I've said for years, and I think it's helpful. It was for me. And it's this. God is easy to please. Now that, I'm not through. That's half the sentence. God is easy to please. But I will tell you, that already startles a lot of people. Because the image that you have of God is a God who's never pleased. Do you know what the writer of Hebrews said? It says that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. How many of you believe that He is this morning? Raise your hand. All right. And then it says you must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How many of you believe that? Okay, I get to announce to all of you that raised your hands, you're pleasing to God. Because that's what Hebrews tells us in 11:6. God is easy to please, and I need that. I need to know that I've got a God that when I mess up, He doesn't beat me with His stick. He just simply says, listen, trust me, get up, go on, it's going to be okay. And He puts His arm around me and He helps me up and I go on. Well, that was only half of it though. Here's what I say. God is easy to please but difficult to satisfy. Now, why do I say that? Listen, God's not going to be satisfied till you look like His Son, Jesus Christ, in your character. And until you have the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control that Jesus Christ had. So He's not going to be satisfied till it's done. And my God who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. See, here's the thing. You face reality, and the reality is I'm not there yet. But that's not a defeatist attitude. It's simply recognizing that I need to get off my sanctified seat and do what needs to be done. Listen. I believe in my heart that a primary idolatry that I face. Now you need to listen. You need to say, I didn't know you faced idolatry. Oh, yes, I do. And I think the primary idolatry is the idolatry of comfort. I really do. I want life to be easy. And I think if most of you were honest, you'd say, yeah, I want enough money so life will be easy. I want my family doing all right so life will be easy. I want comfort. But I'm going to tell you something. Comfort seldom produces champions. It just doesn't. There is, at the essence of it, a realization that there is going to be pressure and there's going to be suffering. So face reality. You with me? I got to move. Two things already. How do I go for the goal? Number one, focus on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The writer of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 or so said, the author and finisher of your faith. So focus on Jesus. Number two, face reality. You ready? Number three, forget yesterday. Now, I got to qualify that, and Paul would. If you've read Paul, you know that he has this great memory, even of what he was before he met Christ. He knows that. He's not an amnesiac. That's not what he's saying. And Paul has a great memory of his meeting with Jesus. He gave clear testimony of that on several occasions. Paul remembered people from the other churches. I'm amazed at the names that he remembers and the people that he prayed for on a daily basis. Oh, his remembering worked just fine. So what does he mean when he says, forgetting those things that are behind? Verse 13. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. He's not talking about forgetting obligations. You know, I think there are people that owe somebody $1,000. They're going to go out of here today and they're going to go find that person and say, Brother Hosey said, forget yesterday. No. No, mark it down. That's not what I'm saying. But I'll tell you what Paul is saying, and I believe this with all my heart. He remembers how desperately he needs God's grace. And here's what I think he's saying. I refuse to let yesterday determine and dominate today and tomorrow. How about that? I refuse to let yesterday determine and dominate today and tomorrow. I forget those things that are behind. By the way, do you understand that good yesterdays can keep you from being a champion today and tomorrow? Do you know, church, that good yesterdays at Ridgecrest Baptist Church can prevent Ridgecrest from being the church that we can be today and tomorrow? Because we're locked into yesterday. When I step off this platform on August the 17th of this year, and the baton is passed to somebody else in leadership, here's one thing I don't ever want to hear you say to anybody. Yeah, but Hosey, who cares? If I could do this, if I knew that the future of this church would be stronger and better if every member of this church had amnesia about me, I would be glad to have that, because I want the bride of Christ to be all she can be until Jesus Christ comes to earth. And I want it for you. God bless you. I'm going to tell you something I'm not supposed to tell you. I figure if you're going to listen, you'll listen to this. You folks on the search team for the pastor, senior pastor search team, don't put your hands in your ears right now and say, no. But I've been reading the questionnaires that have been sent out and are coming back, and men are great. But I did tell you, I read one this last week, and they asked the question, you know, how would you handle the senior pastor's been there 30 years, et cetera, et cetera. And his answer, and I know his heart was perfect. It may be the man God wants for here. But his answer was, I'd make him pastor emeritus and I'd put his picture up on the wall out here. I know his heart. He wants to honor the former pastor. That's a good thing. But please, I'll tell you right now, if anybody does that, I'm coming with a magic marker and you'll be surprised at what that thing looks like the next day. Huh? It'll give the children something to laugh at. That's not what it's about. It is about forgetting yesterday when it comes to those things that would dominate and determine today and tomorrow. Forget yesterday. Well, I got to finish this up. How do I go for the gold? Listen, yesterday's failures, yesterday's successes can cause despair and pride, and both of those are tools of Satan to cause us to stumble. I said it this last week, came out of my little old brain, the death of a dream may be the seed of a miracle. Somebody probably ought to write that one down. The death of a dream may be the seed of a miracle. So what do we have so far? Focus on Jesus, number one. Number two, face reality. Number three, forget yesterday. And here's number four. You ready? This is the last one. Number four, forge, F-O-R-G-E, forge ahead. Paul's passion for spiritual progress is found in every verse in our text, but it becomes explicit in verses 12 and 14. In the New King James Version, Paul says it like this, I press on, I press forward. In the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it translates it something like this, I make every effort. You know, one of the reasons I like to watch the Olympics? Because they hold nothing back. I mean, they're going to lay it out there. And whatever it is, it's when they finish, they're finished. There's none of this saving back for another day. No, this is the day. Forge ahead. Oh, by the way, there's another reason I'm interested this time. There's a young lady. I think maybe she's 24 now, 23, 24. Her name's Emily Scott. Guess where she's from? For the Winter Olympics. Can you believe this? Springfield, Missouri. Graduated from Hillcrest High School. Started skating when she was 2.5, but that was roller skates. Switched to inline skates later. All of those years, Springfield didn't even have an ice rink. When she was 14, moved to Florida and studied for 3 years there. And then she switched to the ice. Didn't even like it. But she'll be competing at the highest level on the short course speed skating, I think is what it's called. The last I heard, her father had been able to raise the money so he could go and watch his daughter. Told the story of how the Olympic committee reduced her stipend to something like $600 a month. She knew if she could not train and pay her rent and eat, little things like that. And she put that out and it was picked up by U.S. newspaper or something, and they ran a story. She raised over $48,000 in order to help her. She didn't have to go on food stamps, but she was in the process of applying at that time. She's already a champion, isn't she? Already a champion. And I'll tell you, I want to watch her because I don't know whether she's going to come in first or last, but I know this, when she's there, she's going to give it everything she has. She's going to press on. She's going to make every effort. She's going to hold nothing back. And for her and all of those athletes, I say amen. At Ridgecrest, you know, we have that goal. We said it a moment ago. But we also have five practices. And today and next Sunday and the following Sunday, we're going to recast that vision. Five practices. The first one for me, and it will always be first, is what I call the 724 challenge. The 724 challenge, which I brought to you 4 years plus ago, based on Matthew 7:24, which is why I always say the seven first, because it reminds me of the biblical text. Matthew 7:24, 7 days a week. I will spend at least 24 minutes every day. I'll tell you something, in the light of the Olympics, doesn't 24 minutes sound kind of pitiful? But I'll spend at least 24 minutes every day interacting with God through His Word. I will listen slowly. I will think deeply. I will pray fervently. And I will obey faithfully. Listen to me. I'm coming up this April on 5 years, and it has changed and is changing my life. And there's a 724 Challenge Facebook page, and many of you are now putting your fresh insights from God's Word on that on a daily basis, and it's blessing people's lives, and I thank God for that. The second of our principles comes right out of that, and that's kingdom first prayer. So it is first the 724 challenge, but out of that kingdom first prayer, what does it mean? It means that if we would have been on our spiritual toes, we would have been praying for Youthquake yesterday afternoon and last night, because that is our participation in that ministry. And we would have been praying for Beast feast last night. And we would take this and we would look through it and we would see that next week we're going to start something called Go Expo. I like that. And we're getting ready for Nicaragua mission trips and mission week emphasis. And on Wednesday, February the 5th at 6:30, right here, Children of the World International Children's Choir, part of our week of emphasis on missions and evangelism. And it's all there. But this becomes not just an advertisement. It becomes a prayer sheet for the people of God. And you pick out the next one. And it's a women's ministry on how far does your love reach. And Abby Copeland, our own Abby Copeland, is the speaker. And you go pray for that. And we're coming up this summer on Central Kids Camps. But it's not too early to pray. And on you work through that. Coming soon, you work through that. And it becomes a prayer guide. And you can leave the shell and take every sheet with you and pray. Why? Because we are practicing, not because we think we're going to be perfect in this life, but because we believe that every child of God can go for the gold. That we, every one of us, can someday stand in that victor's circle and Jesus take that everlasting wreath of righteousness and put it on us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what it means to go for the goal. We're going to end with a reading. And we'll probably use this more times, but I want you to read this with me. So everybody look at the screen and... Hi, there you are. Everybody look at the screen and we're going to read it together. All right? With me now, reading. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are striving for Christ-centered lives 7 days a week. We will, by God's grace and with the help of the Holy Spirit, engage in spiritual practices that will help us make progress toward that goal. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. Bow your heads with me for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come now to this extraordinarily important moment, Lord, I've been praying for days. Give us souls. Let people come to faith in Christ. And last night and yesterday afternoon at Remington's, it happened. Last night at Feast happened. Over in Republic at Calvary, it happened. But it can happen in this room, in this hour, in this time. And oh, Father, give faith. Give repentance. And give eternal life to those who say yes to Jesus. Oh, not to be a muddle through the world mediocre Christian, but one who says, "I'll focus on Jesus Christ. I'll focus on Him. Because only in Christ do I find what I need. I'll face the reality that I've not arrived. I've not been perfected. I'm not yet mature. And I'll forget those things that are behind. And I will forge ahead. By the grace of God, I'll be a disciple, a champion, a go-for-the-gold Christian." Father, I pray that as I offer this invitation, that there'll be folks in the balcony come and publicly profess their faith in Christ. And that there'll be people on the main level do the same. And there'll be some that'll just come to an altar and pray and pour out their heart before You. You're a good God. Now, Lord, take this and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Not leaving unless you have to leave. It's invitation time. You come as we sing together.